3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Patriot Voices Radio. This is Rick Santorum, and it is a real honor for me to welcome to Patriot Voices Radio an old friend and an old campaign buddy. Someone, you know, when we were out crisscrossing Iowa in our 99 counties, there weren't a whole lot of people who had much name recognition or celebrity status who were lining up to help us out in Iowa before the Iowa caucuses. One notable exception to that is our guest here on Patriot Voices Radio. It's a big day for him today because his book hits the bookstores, and we'll be talking about that in a minute. And that is number one New York Times best-selling author. Is available in bookstores and all the websites you can go and download and all that sort of good stuff today. And so we wanted to have Brad on the program first and foremost for me, because this is the first time I've had a chance to be on the radio with Brad since the Iowa caucuses. And I just want to say thank you. We won by less than 100 votes in the state of Iowa. You accounted for at least 100 votes to help me when I was campaigning across Western Iowa with you in the Chuck truck, if you remember that.
Rick, it's great being with you, and yes, I remember the Chuck truck, and I have to tell you, since Iowa, I have been to both President Reagan's library and President H.W. Bush's library, and I've seen the vehicles in there, and we need to make sure that that Chuck truck is preserved somewhere, because one day that's going to go in, God willing, to the Rick Santorum Presidential Library.
Well, that I appreciate that, but I'll never forget, it was all throughout Western Iowa, and Brad was in the back seat of the truck, because it's got a crew cab, and so Brad was in the back seat, and we were humming along a lot of the back roads and interstates, and he was just great. We did event after event. We did 6-7 events a day, and we had a great time, and people came out in great numbers to meet Brad and give me an opportunity to rile people up right before the caucuses, and it really did pay off for us. And so I want to thank you for contributing to Iowa, that we're going to be back in Iowa in next month. Today, August 9th, and we're very, very excited about being back in Iowa and spending 3 or 4 days there. We're going to be in Western Iowa and Central Iowa, be at the Iowa State Fair. So we're looking forward to getting back in there. And I know many of you have heard that I've jumped into the culture wars and publishing books. We're sort of at the another type of artistic medium, and I've gotten the blessing to be named the CEO of Echolite Studios, which takes great IP like intellectual property like Brad creates in books and puts them on the movie screen. So I'm excited about engaging in that, but that's really my first question for you. One of the few outspoken conservatives who is a popular novelist and someone who's in the entertainment business, is it now becoming more apparent for important this is to engage in this battle as we see what's going on around the country?
I think it is, and I think what conservatives are, they're not only getting more comfortable coming out to be engaged in this battle because they realize how important it is, but I think they're getting better with the messaging. I talked with some friends of mine who are grassroots activists, very, very smart people. And one of the things they said is, you know, you've got the hard left in particular giving away the best red licorice that's ever been invented, and the Republicans have been trying to sell broccoli. What's worse, they've been trying to sell broccoli candy, and the Republicans need to get savvier. Conservatives in particular need to realize that while their messages resonate within their own kind of, I don't want to say echo chamber, but in their own community because they all believe in these values, it's important to figure out how to translate those messages for people who may be new to them or may be resistant to them. And it comes down to that old advertising slogan, which is you should really think about selling the sizzle not mistake. So there's nothing wrong with hard work and family and all those kinds of things, and those are important. But we have a largely entitlement-minded mentality out there that needs to be sold the sizzle. So maybe you need to be saying, here are the benefits of the ideas. Here's what's in it for you if you follow what we've got, our vision for the country. Here's the great stuff you're going to get out of it. And I think conservatives are getting smarter.
Well, we have to. I mean, that's just the bottom line. We have to get better at communicating our message. And you're absolutely right. If you look at what the left has been able to do, they've taken things that are not popular. And it's not that they have at all backed away from what they believe in. They've simply gone out and been able to fashion a game plan to market it to the general public and convince them that what they were believing was wrong. Now, obviously, I believe that's wrong in itself, but nevertheless, they have not shied away from standing up for their values, but they've done it in a way that's been very, very disconnected with people at an emotional level, and that's what art and entertainment can do, and so we better engage in with a rhetoric that that hits people where they are, as opposed to, as you talked about, more high-minded types of facts and figures.
Absolutely. We may not agree with the people on the other side of the argument, but boy, can we learn a lot from them. I mean, look, it was the Democrats who were against civil rights, and yet you ask any young person today, and they think the Democrats were champions of segregation, desegregation, and things like this, even down to the Defense of Marriage Act. Bill Clinton signed that into law, and there were tons of Democrats that have been demagoguing it, and now they're out saying, isn't this great? We finally repealed this terrible law, even down to Clinton himself saying it. So they are the masters of communication, and we really need to take pages out of their playbook. It doesn't mean we are untrue to our values and our beliefs, but again, it comes down to messaging, and that's where the arts are so powerful, because it's all about presentation. It is about the message and all of that stuff, but how do you make your story appealing? How do you make it resonate with people? And if we can learn that, and if we can teach other people, particularly in the political arena, how we do it through film and through books and things like that, and we apply it to politics, then I think we have a much greater chance of being successful.
Well, let me ask you, if we can... you've been an incredibly successful author. You're a number one New York Times bestseller. And for those people who don't know what that means, it means that he had a book that was number one on the New York Times bestselling list. So you will forever be number one New York Times bestseller, no matter whether you have one or 100. But you've got a new book coming out. And before we talk about the book, maybe how do folks out there listening who may be interested in the arts, maybe interested in getting involved in the popular culture, how does someone, you were obviously just a normal guy like everybody else, and you ended up being an author, and how does that happen? What do you do to get to the point where you can be a published author?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the biggest things you have to remember, no matter what your politics are, no matter what your beliefs are, if you're going into the arts, at least for me, my number one job, because I write thrillers, I write beach reads, my number one job is to entertain people. I want to give you the best white-knuckle thrill ride in my novels that I'm capable of. So if you want toes in the sand, book in the hand, fantastic beach read, and you close one of my thrillers and your heart's pounding and you say, wow, what a ride, then I've done my job. But if you close the book with some questions, you've learned some things in there, you want to go to the internet and look things up, that for me is the icing on the cake. But to be successful, whether you're doing movies, whether you're doing books, you have to come at your material, you have to put it out there in such a way that people find it captivating, engaging. If you do have a message that's within your work, that's great, but you can't beat people over the head with it. I think you get more people coming around to your ideas and your way of thinking if you're not standing on a soapbox, especially for me with fiction. I don't stand on a soapbox, but I do include things in there. My characters talk about things that I think are important, especially issues like last summer, Blacklist, my thriller, was all about total surveillance and how the government has been gathering gathering information on people. I talked about that facility in Utah, and here we are a year later, and it's what we're all talking about. And that's my job, to see beyond the horizon, tell people what's coming next, but to wrap it up in a great story.
So your new book, which comes out today, is called Hidden Order. What is in there that we should be talking about next year?
Well, I don't want to give away too much, but I will tease it this way, that when I was supposed to be going on vacation with my wife around the time of 9/11, we got stranded on the East Coast, and we couldn't get to our final destination, so we ended up on a little island just off the coast of Georgia, and it's called Jekyll Island. And I learned about a group of powerful bankers that came down there in the early 1900s under a veil of secrecy, didn't use their real names. They represented 25% of the world's wealth. And they got together and decided to create something called the Federal Reserve, which is about as federal as Federal Express and doesn't have any reserves. Everybody thinks it's part of the government. But there is this whole shadowy intrigue story that I said, I want to use that for a contemporary thriller, and I also want to weave in an element of the American Revolution that a lot of people aren't familiar with, which has to do with England wanting to yoke the colonies underneath the Bank of England. And I said, this stuff would be great. Take my counterterrorism op from Scott Harvath, create an unbelievable terrorist scenario in the United States, but weave in these two issues just very lightly so that people have, again, that great thrill ride, but finish the book saying, oh, my gosh, I never knew this stuff. And that's a hallmark of a Brad Thor thriller.
It is. I've read several of them, and I have to admit, I've read most of them at the beach. So I'm looking forward to getting this one and digging into it. They are great summer reads. And the big problem I have with your book is that busy and I hate to put them down, so it tends to be a lot of late nights and early mornings with books. So I only try to do it when I've got some downtime. And the great thing about your books, Brad, is that your characters do. I mean, it's not like I don't want to give your books are riddled with political commentary, but at the appropriate moment that you zing those things very much in context. And as someone who reads a lot of political correct and sees a lot of politically correct, entertainment, to have that zingers come from the other side is very, very satisfying.
Well, thank you, and that's high praise indeed, and I think this book is really interesting because I open Hidden Order with a quote from President Kennedy, and I close the book with a quote from President Reagan. They're bookends, these quotes, and I think they were so appropriate for Hidden Order. I'm so excited for people to read this book because I think it is my 13th book, but I think it's the best thriller I've ever written.
Now, is part of this book, I mean, is there a... a conspiracy theory buried in this book too, with respect to the two things that you talked about?
Absolutely, there is, and that's what. Again, I don't want to beat people over the head with it, but I do want to put it out there for people to look at. And one of them has to do with something that fascinated me with the Arab Spring, was who was stepping in and taking power. And also, I found it fascinating that before Muammar Gaddafi was even gone, before the revolution was over in Libya, that one of the first things the rebels did was set up their own central bank. That fascinated me, and I said, but can I take this issue, weave it into a thriller with my counterterrorism operative, and make it exciting? That was the challenge, because if somebody said, go write a book, put the Federal Reserve somewhere in it, and make it exciting, I'd say, you're crazy. You're nuts.
Yeah. I'm not too sure you're still in your book to mass audiences by saying we're focused on the Federal Reserve. That's not what you're focused on. It's a thriller, and that's just part of it. It's just part of the narrative, right?
Absolutely. And it's what's behind the Federal Reserve that really brings the intrigue to the book. That's where that tension comes from.
Well, I look forward to reading. I encourage my friends. Like I said, I've read several of Brad's books. They're great reads. And you will be kicking your fingers and your toes in the sand on the beach as you read this thing. And I look forward to reading it myself, Brad. And I just want to thank you for staying up. I know you go on Fox a lot, and you go on a lot of other radio and other outlets. And you don't shy away as a celebrity. You know, a lot of those folks don't want to get involved in politics, particularly in speaking conservative and family values causes that you're not ashamed to do. And that's that just earns extra kudos in my book for being out there in the entertainment space and not shying away from standing up for what you believe, writing it in your book. So go out there and get Brad's book, enjoy it. And Brad, thank you again for joining us here on Patriot. I know you're going to be busy, but if you have a little time a month from now, I'm going to be in August, I'll be at the Iowa State Fair. We can get some deep fried butter together down on the main drag of the fair. If you want to join me,
I can't think of a better place to be. I may just come and join you.
All right, Brad. God bless you. Thank you all for listening to Patriot Voices Radio, and we'll see you on the road. God bless. Bye bye.